Welcome to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. And as always, we're going to be taking all of your thoughts, comments, questions, all of that on Facebook. So make sure you're going over to the Buccaneers Facebook page and leaving all of those on the live video that we have here. And there's finally going to be some pretty cool stuff to talk about, because we did all this speculating before the draft and then even a little bit of breaking it down after. But now we have finally gotten to see some of these guys in Bucs jerseys out on the practice field. This is always so exciting this time of year to see actual practice going on. There's no hitting. It's still not really football in a lot of ways, but it's still a lot closer than we've been in months. And so I know that I'm excited to hear your thoughts on what you saw and were able to glean from this weekend's practices.
Yeah, like you said, you can't hit. And so the most interesting players to watch are quarterbacks, receivers, to some extent running backs, although every play looks like a 40-yard touchdown. But you can still see some you can see how quick is Ronald Jones out of the backfield, how are his hands, things like that, because those are going to be important answers in the long run. The DBs a little bit, they can break up passes, but they got to be careful. They're not supposed to initiate contact. So we have a lot of young DBs that we want to get a look at. I know everybody was really excited about how our two cornerbacks did over the weekend, MJ Stewart and Carlton Davis. They look good right off the bat. Now, again, it's an all-rookie minicamp. So the competition they're going against is a bunch of rookies, including about 30 tryout guys. So we'll probably learn a little bit more about them when OTAs start next Monday. That's when the veterans and rookies will be together. They're together right now, but it's still the last week of phase two. So they can't even do offense against defense. There's a lot of limits to what they can do. Next week, you know, Vita Vea will line up next to Gerald McCoy, and we'll see that for the very first time.
That's going to be pretty exciting. Is that what you think you're most excited to see come next week?
Yeah. You know what? I'm interested. It's kind of the same answer I said last week, is how are these cornerbacks going to shake out? And there's no depth chart this time of the year, but still, when you see them, okay, they're playing MJ Stewart in the slot, or they're playing Carlton Davis on the right side, and things like that. What are they going to do with Vernon Hargraves? Coach Hoke said today that, or actually, I can't remember if it was Coach Hoke. I think they both said it, Coach Hoke and defensive coordinator Mike Smith, that Vernon's going to be competing for, it's really like a Rondé Barber type of role. He's going to be competing to start on the outside, like he has, but then in that role, if he was starting on the outside, he'd move into the corner, move into the slot, in nickel, and Coach Hoke said he's really more naturally talented for that. He's very good at that, so they're pretty happy with him there. But then you also have MJ Stewart, whose best thing apparently is playing in the slot. So how's that all going to shake out? You have guys like Ryan Smith, who really got a lot of development time last year, JV and Elliott. I mean, there's a lot of guys in the mix for corner, and other than thinking Brent Grimes will almost surely be your starting left corner, I don't think there's anything else settled there.
Yeah, that's a really great point. All right, we have our first question here from Ronnie, and he asked if Ronald Jones is the clear starter for our running backs, you think?
I was wondering if they're going to ask us if we hear Yanni or Laurel.
I know, right, the big debate of everything.
If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google Yanni or Laurel.
And then
it'll
see.
It'll blow your mind like that golden white dress from a couple
years
ago.
That's a very good point. So, yeah, so Ronald Jones, starter.
Yes, probably. I've heard him described as a very good complement to this type of running that Peyton Barber gives you. So I think they'll both be used quite a bit. So it sounds like a cop-out answer, but I'm not sure it's really necessarily important which one is called the starter, which one takes the very first snap.
Right.
It might depend on the package of plays you're starting the game with. But I would think it's not necessarily a given that he'll be nominally the starter, the first guy name listed on the depth chart when the season begins, but I think he will be our most significant running back.
Right. Okay. And then our next one is from Nicholas. How many teams from the NFC South do you think make the playoffs this year?
One, I hope.
Yeah. Just the one.
Because that would be really good news if that was us. Two. Because it was three last year, but that's not that common. And so you can't really expect it to be three again.
Right.
That means both of the wild cards come from the same division, which happens, but it's not that common. But there's just too much talent in this division. It'll knock each other off a little bit, but these teams are too good to expect at least two of them not to be in the running. So I'd go two.
Right. Similar to the question about Rojo being a starter or not, Berg asked, how many potential starters overall did we draft?
In the long run. Is that how we're answering this?
How about by the end of this season? So maybe not week one, but the way that Justin Evans didn't start the season as a starter, but then ended up being it as we went along.
Yeah, okay. Vita Vea probably, although with the rotation we're going to use, I don't know if you're going to end up calling him a starter. Because obviously you also have Bo Allen in there, and he's such a great run stopper that you might want him out there on the very first play of the game, you know, first
right.
and 10. Ronald Jones probably. Yeah, I would think if you count the nickel as a starting spot, I would think that one of our two cornerbacks will probably be a starter there. I would think they would either it's Carlton Davis on the outside or MJ Stewart on the inside, depending on what ends up happening with Vernon Hargraves. What else we got? We got a linebacker we took late. Mm-hmm. A receiver, probably not. Jack Sitchie, probably not. Yeah. The receiver, Justin Watson, I wouldn't think so right away. Jordan Whitehead would have a shot. I think next to Justin Evans, that other spot is wide open. And he, as the coaches said today, is a very versatile guy and a great athlete who can play either spot. Yeah. So you could end up with four. But that's a lot
that is a
to
lot.
Get out of one draft. We did it a couple years ago with Jameis and Donovan and Allie and Quan Alexander. To hope for that to happen again is asking for a lot. I do think it's possible. I think in the long run, you have a real good shot at getting four, and that's a good draft.
That's a great point. All right, our next one is from Nicholas. Is this the year Gerald has 10-plus sacks?
You know what Coach Buckner said today? And he started the quote talking about Gerald McCoy and saying, obviously, very good things because he's such a good player. But he was telling him some advice that he was giving him about how to go even to another level. And then he also said, and embrace your teammates and all these new guys around you, and we'll go all do this together. He said, I don't need a Superman. I need super friends. And that's a great thing for Gerald because he loves Superman and superheroes, right? So right. What Buckner's saying is we don't need one guy. Gerald so often has been the one guy, and that's the problem.
Too much on his shoulders.
Last year he had six sacks and went to the Pro Bowl for the sixth straight time and was a great player. Six sacks was his lowest sack total in 5 years, but he also had 24 quarterback pressures, which is like second among all defensive tackles. So that's a little misleading. But the Bucs, as a team, had 22 sacks last in the NFL, and that's mm-hmm. not misleading. And Gerald can't do it all by himself. Mm-hmm. So what is going to end up happening? Is Gerald going to continue to draw a lot of extra double teams, but now we've got more guys that can take advantage of it? So maybe JPP is your 10-sack guy.
Right.
And Gerald gets 7 or 8, but everybody knows he's still the linchpin there. So it's hard to bet on that. I think it's easier to bet that somebody on this team is going to get 10 sacks.
Well, ironically, our next question was from Philip, who asked who gets the most sacks in 2018. So if you have to be pinned down to picking one guy, if you are a betting man, has been in the news this week.
That's
If you were a betting
we can actually go put money down on this answer.
Oh, right? No, there you go.
I'm not going to do that. we probably
can't. Yeah, we actually aren't allowed to, I doubt.
So we're not gambling on sports. I would, if I have to be pinned down, I'd probably go with JPP. I think he's a proven guy that can get to that level. He plays so many snaps, so he's going to be out there. He's going to have his opportunities. So if this new look line works as well as it should, he's going to have the opportunities, so I'd go with him. How about you? What would you say?
I think that it's always easier to put your money on an outside guy.
Yeah.
I just think that in general, just it's so much easier for them. I do think this could be the chance that Gerald has for such a huge year because of the fact that we're betting on his best shot at it. So I also want to put my money on Gerald because I know what type of a player he is, and if he's given the best shot, then he's capable of it. So
you know,
I think
he had 9.5 one year. I feel like we should round
worst.
That up.
We really should. I agree. I remember back when I was in school, I absolutely would have rounded that up on grades when I reported the report card.
Exactly.
So. All right, Steven wants to know, what do you see will be the biggest difference from last year to this year?
Oh, for the whole team, huh?
Yep.
Well, on paper, it certainly looks like the pass rush will be a lot better. And as Coach Buckner said today, in the NFL, there's a really fine line between being really good and being not very good at all. So I know you want to look at worst sack total in the league, you know, least effective pass rushing unit in the league, and go, well, maybe they'll make some progress, but they're not going to be the best, one of the 5 or 10 best. But actually, it can turn around that quickly, and it has. And you know, it did last year. The second half of 2016, the Bucs defense was racking up sacks, interceptions, was one of the best defenses in the league. And then it flipped last year, not in a good way.
Right.
I think that could change. My second answer would be the running game should be a lot better. It needs to be a lot better.
Okay. Chad wants to know, who do you see most likely being the other outside corner other than Grimes?
Well, I think they're going to give Vernon Hargraves every chance to win that job. I think they still – Coach Cutter has said several times, and so has Jason Light this offseason, that they still believe in Vernon Hargraves, even though his first couple seasons haven't been as productive as hoped. You know, some of that had to do with injury last year. But they still think he's a very talented player, you know, former first-round pick, like 11th overall, something like that. And I think they're going to give him every shot to win that job. But so if I had to pick a guy, I'd pick Vernon. But – as you've heard me say a million times, all of those cornerbacks are going to be used extensively by the time the season is over. It's just you have to assume that. You have to bet on that because it happens every year.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You're going to go four or five corners deep with that are going to be important to the team.
Yep. William says, is this the year that Jameis has his breakout year?
I guess it depends on what the definition of breakout is. You know, all these questions, by the way, are like, is this the year we get 10 sacks? Is this the year? Yeah. And we all, our tendency here is to, it's to be very optimistic.
Right.
And say, yeah. And I don't want us to sound like whatever you ask us, we're going to say, yes, that's going to happen. I think it depends on what you call a breakout year. It could just be that he continues sort of this natural upward progression that I think he's on. There are people, there are critics, and everybody's entitled to their opinion, that look at Jameis' season last year and look at it as a step back. I don't agree with that.
Especially with the injury. It's a very challenging thing to try to say to somebody in evaluating them based on injury.
True. And the injury really made his numbers look not as good as they could have. But he finished the season very strong. And what I saw last year was him significantly improve his completion percentage, and yet his yards per attempt, which is a strong part of his game, actually went up a little bit too. So this wasn't like, okay, they figured out a new thing and they had him throw a lot more dump off passes, and that's why his completion percentage went up. That actually happened to Cam Newton in Carolina. If you look at those numbers, so he progressed, he got more accurate without giving up how good he is at those intermediate range passes. I mean, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL throwing like the 19-yard out, which is a really hard throw because that ball is in the air. Like, it's literally in the air like 40 yards.
Yeah.
Because the field is so wide. So the thing that didn't get corrected is the overall number of turnovers with interceptions and fumbles. And if you want to say that correcting that problem to a significant extent is a breakout year for him, then I'd say there's a good chance of that happening. I think that's the next step that he's going to make. But I tend to think of these, maybe it's just because I've heard Dirk Cutter say it so many times. He's like, how many years has Jameis been in the league? Three. How many years has Tom Brady been in the league? 19 or 20?
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have Tom Brady's experience yet. You shouldn't expect him to be Tom Brady yet. So it doesn't always go, okay, he was okay for 2 years and wow, he had a breakout year. It does happen. I think you could say Carson Wentz had a breakout year last year.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere almost. But there's a lot of guys that just kind of gradually progress, and I think that's what you probably will see out of Jameis.
And might be more sustainable, so that might even be a better thing than having one
as
giant
long as he
jump.
Keeps getting better every year, I think we'll be happy.
Steven said, who do you see making the biggest jump from last year to this year?
You know, I get this question wrong every year. I remember I said Mark Barron
one year. So in other words,
year.
Who you're going to say should be really upset that you say it.
Let's
it's
not
like,
let them know.
I'd be like, by the way, Scott good, picked you, which means it's not going
to
go well.
It is a good question, though. Okay. Biggest progression from last year to this year. Couple candidates to throw. Let's throw out a couple candidates. Noah Spence,
which I think is
a matter of just health. Chris Godwin, just because that's a matter of more opportunity. I would say Kendall Beckwith, because I think they're hopefully, as Mike Smith said today, last year he had just had to play too many snaps in defensive end because that's what the team needed, and that's not really what he is.
Right.
So if he can concentrate on being a linebacker, but with the certain uncertainty about when he's going to be ready to play. So I'll go with either one of those first two.
I think those are great. I like that. This is a question I've actually been wanting to ask you for a bit, so I'm glad they did. Trey said, it seems like the Bucs now have more press corners. So do you think that's going to change the type of coverage this year?
I think that we are going to mix things up quite a bit, both in terms of that and what we do up front. I think that they're going to experiment with a lot of things and see what they got when we get to training camp and we can actually be physical with practices and so on. And that could happen, but I don't think you're ever going to go away from off coverage in this defense. You're still going to see plenty of it, maybe more press coverage. But the thing is that, as Coach Hoke was saying today, they think both those guys, Carlton Davis and MJ Stewart, are talented enough to play both off and press. And as Coach Hoke said, every cornerback that comes into the NFL from college wants to play press because it's easier. The job description, it may not be physically easier, but the job description is easier. You're right up on the guy. You make contact with him. You follow him. Your eyes are on him.
Right.
When you're playing off, you need to have your eyes on the quarterback a little bit more, and that can be a harder thing to do. So everybody wants to play press coverage, but some situations and some styles of defense call for more off. And I don't think what I would get around to, long way getting around to, is I think you'll see a mixture. And if one of them is working a lot better than the other, then you'll start seeing more of that.
Okay. And we'll close with this one because it's a lot of different questions. And so I'll just sort of lump them all into one. But basically, DeSean Jackson. All we have, like, I saw, like, at least six or seven questions that are different parts of him, his role. And yes, go. Instead of an ink blot, we're saying DeSean Jackson, go.
Very much better second year in our system because he'll have a better connection with Jameis Winston, very similar to the way Mike Evans in his second year with Jameis Winston, it got a lot better. And I'm putting this really on Jameis getting better. I really have always expected his deep ball to be a strength of his game, and it hasn't really been that as of yet, but he's the one who's going to take the step forward, and that's going to make DeSean Jackson a much more valuable player to our offense because we're going to take advantage of what he can do. So that's my answer.
That's your answer to my question that was phrased, DeSean Jackson, go. I love it. All right, well, thank you all so much for contributing to our show today. As always, we'll be taking your thoughts, comments, and questions on Facebook, so stay tuned for our show right here every Wednesday. That's Buccaneers Insider Live presented by Miller Lite.